Okay, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So again, your new record, 5, came out a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. How would you describe the sound and the songs on this record compared to what you guys have done previously?
Man, I got to tell you, this is probably my favorite record that we've done, strictly because of the work that we put into it. Between our release in 2016 of our record, What We're Made Of, to the release of 5 in January of 2019, I probably wrote well over 100 songs trying to, you know, find a sound that we wanted for this record. And we narrowed, and then I took probably to the band 20 of those songs. And they also had ideas that they brought to the table too. So there's so many songs that we've filtered through to get to these 8 songs. That's the reason I'm proud of it, because we really put in a lot of work and the sound came out great. It's probably one of our more rocking records.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And I love the stories in the songs as well. That's mainly my main focus, is writing the lyrics, and then I'll have a song that I've structured out, and then I'll take it to the band, and our guitar player, Richard, will have an idea, and it'll be completely different from what I was thinking. But the lyrics fit so well within what he plays, and then, bam, we have a song that we love, and our song, Best I Can, happened like that. It was written originally as a slower acoustic song, mm-hmm. and then he came in with this rocking riff of, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, man, I think, yeah, this could work. And then organically, just like that, one of our favorite songs was written. Best yeah. I can.
I got to say, Richard shines on this record. On every song, and it's not an in-your-face style he's playing with. It suits the song perfectly, but top to bottom, I think his playing really shines on these songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a great player.
Yeah.
Great.
And, you know, this is the second record in a row that you've done with Tom Paisley at the helm.
Right, yep.
What's your relationship like with him now? It seems like now that you guys have a couple under your belt, you're really locked in terms of producer and band just gelling together.
Oh, totally. I got back home at 3 o'clock this morning because we were just in the studio with him for 3 days.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, we just went back in this week and cut some more songs with him. Tom's our guy. Like, he's almost part of the band at this point. It's that close of a relationship. And it was from day one with him. Like, before we recorded What We're Made Of, we didn't know him from anybody. And we got introduced through mutual friends. And he came up to Nashville. And the first time we met him, you know, he just wanted to sit down, have a beer, and chat with us. Not necessarily about music, just get to know us. And he's an Alabama boy, too, and that's where we all grew up. So it was kind of like a friendship right off the bat. And then he allows us to do our thing in the studio with, you know, he allows us to be creative with not too much input. But then when he does make the input, it's the perfect, you know, complement to what we're doing.
Well, I think he has such a varied background with everyone from, you know, Mastodon to Sugarland to Springsteen.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, oddly enough, you know, listening to your record, you almost hear all of that in your song. So, I mean,
right.
Were those kinds of things that, you know, you guys had before that he sort of brought out, or is that something he brings to the table?
I think we always had that in us, mm-hmm. because all 5 of us have different musical tastes. Like, when we all got together, we weren't like, oh man, everybody loves Springsteen or everybody loves whatever band and we're going to go for this sound. It was like, I like Kings of Leon, Richard likes the Allman Brothers, Brian likes, you know, hard rock or classic rock, and Paul likes punk rock. So it was always this blend of different musical tastes from the beginning. And I think within the last 4 or 5 years, we've really kind of honed our sound in and tried. I don't even know what we're not necessarily going for a certain sound. It's just like we want to make whatever comes out the best it can be.
And I think that's what works on this record is there. It can't pinpoint the sound. I mean, I think the Southern feel is always there, but you guys have really gone so far past just that label.
Right. Well, we've started calling because, you know, a lot of people in interviews, they ask us, so what genre, what sound are you going for? And we never have an answer. It's like, well, we call it Southern rock, but it's not your traditional Southern rock.
Right.
You know, it's not like the Allman Brothers or Lynyrd Skynyrd. It has influences by those bands, but it's not an identical replica. So we started calling it alternative Southern rock. You know, that's all. That's the best thing we can come up with.
It fits.
Yeah, I think it does too.
And now, you know, we've talked a little about the sound, but the other part of what makes it, an album work are the actual songs themselves. And it almost seems like your writing has matured. You know, for instance, on What We're Made Of, just the production style was sort of a very in-your-face, the instruments were up front. On Five, I think your songs play a more central role. Do you feel like that you've gotten more confident and mature in your writing over the past 3 years?
Definitely, without a doubt. And that's something that I focused a lot on personally because, you know, living in Nashville for 7 years, I've been lucky enough to be around some great, great writers here in town and you know, people that are coming up just like me, but they're just phenomenal writers. And so when I go out and hit to these writers' rounds and I'm playing next to these people, I'm playing my own songs, but I'm really listening to what they're bringing to the table too and allowing that to push me to be better as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's become more of a role that I want to fit into with this band because, like I said, I mean, I'm surrounded by great players who come up with great musical parts. I just have to be ready with the right stories and right lyrics and right songs to kind of throw on top of them.
And again, where I think the, you know, the lyrics that you're bringing and sort of those diverse influences from the rest of the band show up, and I was trying to think of how to phrase this so that it comes out sort of as the compliment that I mean it to be. You know, your influences show clearly, but you don't sound like anybody. And I think that's just a real hard thing. And sort of like, as an example, in Everything I Need, that line, you know, bought a gun on election day. Honestly, that is the best line Springsteen never wrote. You know, I mean, that,
I love that line, man.
That could be the centerpiece of his Magic album, but yet the song sounds nothing like Springsteen.
Right.
You know, same thing
cool.
with
That's
I
nice
Have
true
it.
Story too.
Yeah, it really.
I did buy a gun on election day.
Yeah, but it's like I see that a lot through the record. Same thing with I Ain't Having It. You know, on its face, it's like you listen to it, it's like that should be a Tom Petty song, but yet it sounds absolutely nothing like a Tom Petty song.
Right.
You know, so I think that blend of you bringing your influences lyrically, but the band having that, you know, diverse background really works this time around.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a huge compliment, really. Mm-hmm. And I take it that way because that's what we're trying to do, you know. Some songs we will sound like our influences.
Mm-hmm.
But for that overall feel of a record, we want to be completely original, and that's how we've always been. And, you know, sometimes that hurts us, but we will always be like that because, you know, and when I say it hurts us, it's because people can't pinpoint a sound. They don't know how to – they don't know how to tell you maybe what we sound like.
Yeah, everyone's trying to, you know, kind of pigeonhole a band into two words.
Trying to put us in a hole of a genre. And
we've
always kind of been independent from a genre. We can cross over into anything. That's always been the beauty of our band. And one of my main selling points on staying in the band for 10 years, really.
Mm-hmm. And you know, again, we brought up a couple of the lyrics, and I think when you listen to the whole thing, it's a very socially conscious record, but it's not a political record by any means. You know,
right.
I think, you know, stuff like Generation of Happiness and Best I Can, they really capture the feel, I think, of where we are as a country without sort of that political preaching. I mean,
right.
Did you set out to kind of paint that picture, or is it just something that developed as you wrote?
Yes, I really did. And I didn't want it to come across as a, you know, waving my finger and telling you how to think or what to feel, you know. But I really wanted to capture a moment in our history as a nation, because it is a weird time, you know. You don't know what to believe, and there's so many things thrown at you every day from every single angle. And it's like, really, all I'm trying to say is slow down and think for yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all kind of in this together. And so, yeah, I'm glad that it comes across like that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and earlier on you were mentioning, you know, all the songs that you wrote leading up to this and the ones you brought to the band. But the final product, again, the record's only 8 songs. It's, you know, 35 minutes long. How did you narrow down that many songs? And, you know, at some point was kind of the plan to go with that shorter, you know, hit them in the face record, or did it just kind of come out that way as you guys were picking songs and putting it together?
Well, we wanted a shorter record this time because we knew we were going to do a vinyl. And we're a touring band. I mean, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always thinking of every single side of it between, you know, merchandise and whatever. But these days, I mean, the more that I see bands and the more that I listen to different records, it's kind of hard to keep people's attention for 13, 14 song records. So we wanted to put out the absolute best songs we have, give you 8 songs, and then, you know, we have a good follow-up coming not too long after this with more songs, you know. We didn't want to jam-pack 15 songs on a record, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think in this day and age with the way the music business is, that makes sense. People are used to just, you know, streaming 1 or 2 songs.
Right.
You know, I think a short record, people actually listen to the whole thing a little more.
Well, the idea behind this one was we wanted every song, if it had to be a single, to be able to stand alone. And so that was the idea. And, you know, we wanted everybody to have their favorite song on this record. And we thought that 8 songs was a good, you know, length of a record. Yeah. It fits perfectly on a vinyl. With what we're made of, we had to do a double vinyl, two vinyls. So it was a lot of different factors going into it. But mainly we wanted to have a record that every song could stand alone.
And also, I'm kind of thinking toward the live show, gives you a chance to really, you know, if you wanted to, play the whole record live and still have plenty of time to, you know, do the rest of your catalog.
Yeah, and you were asking how we narrowed down, you know, to the 8. Well, we do, you know, 150 shows a year. And when we say Best I Can, when we wrote Best I Can, well, we were playing it at live shows a week later just to see how it goes with the crowd. And that's kind of how we tested all the songs. We would play them live and see if the crowd reaction was good. And if it was good, then we kept going with it. And we kept building it and creating and evolving the song. And if it didn't go good, we knew that, hey, this song needs more work, or we need to move on from that song.
Yeah, and that was one thing, too, that I noticed kind of looking back. You guys, you know, really over the past 3 years since the last record, you've been playing these songs pretty constantly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why did it take till now to put the record out? Was it just kind of honing them live and seeing what works?
Yeah, we wanted to get the right songs on the record. And we've had the opening track, Partying with Strangers, we've had that song for 2.5 years maybe that we've been playing it. So it's, when we put it on the record, people are like, no, this is an old song, you know, but, it's, we tour a lot, I guess is the right answer to that. and we had to find certain times to be able to get in the studio and have a couple of days here to pop in the studio, do a song or two. And then we wanted to get with a record label on this one and have some distribution behind it, which we haven't had with previous records.
Mm-hmm.
So that took a little while to find the right spot there. And then we found Blue Alarm, the record company out in L.A., and signed with them in late summer this year. And then, you know, there's always planning on top of that once you sign, how we're going to release it, this and that. So it just took a little time, different steps that we took on this record.
Yeah, and, you know, you could see it starting to pay off. I mean, I noticed Rolling Stone included you guys in, you know, the songs to hear this week
right.
a couple of days ago. So, you know, the planning really is starting to pay off.
Yeah, that was a really cool moment. We were, like I said, we were down in Atlanta recording with Tom, and we didn't know that was coming out in the Rolling Stone. And I was recording a new track, and our guitar player Richard came in, and he's like, "Dude, check this out." I was like, "No way, man. That's pretty cool." That was our first time, you know, being in the Rolling Stone. So
yeah.
I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, it's great when those moments happen that, you know.
Yeah, it's just a cool moment, you know.
Yeah, you know, when you're working that hard and then all of a sudden you see something like that showing that it pays off.
Yeah, it was really cool.
What do you guys have coming up for a tour? You know, are you doing a big one coming up in the spring, or are you doing, you know, a series of small tours?
Right now we're doing some weekend dates in February, mm-hmm. and then the first week or so in March, we're going to head out to South by Southwest and hit those dates out there. I think we'll do two or three shows at South by. And then we have some festivals coming up in the early summer to summer. And, I mean, really, we're just always on tour. We really are, whether it's weekend dates or, you know, a week or two run. And then in the fall, we have plans to go back to Europe for the fourth time.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Well, I hope we get to see you up here in the Northeast at some point. I mean, I would love to check out his show and see how these songs evolve in a live setting.
It's a little different with the live setting, with the energy we bring to the show. So, yeah, that would be great, man. We'd love to have you out.
Yeah, definitely. I'll keep an eye out. And, you know, if you guys do make your way up here to the Northeast, whether it's, you know, New York, Mass, or Connecticut, let me know. We'll do a piece and, you know, help promote the show and get it out there and make sure we get people out to see you.
Definitely. Yeah, we come up to New York probably 3 times a year. So.
Oh, great. I'll definitely keep an eye out
for you. We'll be up there. We should be up there pretty soon.
And, you know, last thing before I let you go, you know, got to ask on the name, you know, because there actually is another Vagabonds band. So how did you guys end up with Vagabonds?
So we were in college, you know, and partying a lot. We were just getting to where we were kind of going out of the city we were living in, Auburn, Alabama. We were starting to do shows outside of the city, and then we were getting outside of the state, and we were like, man, we're kind of like vagabonds. And so we loved the name, and then obviously we looked it up, and we're like, of course, that's our name, you know. So we just did an arbitrary word change and made it vagabonds. So, and it's kind of stuck, you know. We had no idea that we were going to still be doing it 10 years later, but – it stuck with us, and, you know, we like the name.
It works.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure getting to talk to you. I mean, like I said, I love the record, and, you know, we'll get the word out there and, you know, help you guys out any way I can. So thank you for your time.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for giving me a call, Jeff. Nice talking to you too, man.
And, yep. Good luck with the record, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, hopefully you can catch a show next time we're up there.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah. Bye.